Did you see the college football playoff rankings last night or Tuesday night?
Yeah, I got the notification. I didn't watch it, but...
You know, I haven't watched an actual ranking show or release since Florida State was actually good in 2014.
I mean, when you don't really have a dog in the fight, it's not as exciting,
yeah,
I guess.
And the thing is, like, I don't care about this 30-minute show of just a bunch of crap that's being spewed out by these analysts, because
we're not there, so it's not as
fun. Not even that. None of these rankings matter early on. Like, I think it's all bull. Like, half these teams ranked right now will not be ranked by the end of the year.
So, look, you're talking about the playoff rankings or the AP?
The college football rankings. The AP is different, but I'm talking about the selection committee, like the CFP top 25.
So, you think that, Texas is 24?
Texas should not be ranked. I think Florida State should be ranked above them, but because Texas's losses were to Alabama, fine, one game, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State, who just got trounced. So, Texas Tech is a 4-4 team.
They're like the fifth, they are the fifth best team in the Big 12.
And Florida State's arguably the fourth best team in the ACC? Maybe fifth? You can make an argument.
Probably
for,
fifth.
Because you can make an argument. You have Clemson, you have Wake Forest, NC State, North Carolina, or Syracuse.
And
we play Syracuse in 2 weeks. Yeah. So
I'm putting Cuse above us until they prove me otherwise.
I mean, they just got smacked too. So.
Yeah, but they're still 6-2, and we can't say that we are.
Yeah, we should not be 5-3 or 6-3. No, we're 5-3. Yeah, we should not be 5-3.
We did get 8 votes though in the AP.
I respect the AP one more than the college football playoff ranking personally.
Well, okay, so you're talking about the playoff rankings. Right now, the top four: Tennessee, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson. I don't like Clemson there.
Why?
I don't think they went out.
Who do you see them losing to?
Okay, so the remaining schedule, they've got Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami, South Carolina. It isn't that hard. You're right.
There's one game, I think, that can trip them up. And it's this Saturday. No, it's this Saturday at Notre Dame in South Bend. 7:30 kick. That's the one game. If Clemson's going to lose, I think it's Notre Dame. However, if they beat Notre Dame, I don't see them having any trouble with Louisville. It's at home. I don't have them seeing any trouble with no offense Miami. And I have no trouble with South Carolina. I see no trouble with South Carolina, even though South Carolina was ranked last week, which I don't know how they were ranked last week. But I think Clemson's running the table. And then they play more than likely North Carolina in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, well, I still see that happening, but you don't think Louisville has a chance?
No.
I mean, they just waxed the floor with Wake Forest.
I don't. I don't think Louisville is as good at... I mean, I just don't see them... Their head coach is on the hot seat, too. So they lose to Clemson. I can see Clemson firing Scott Satterfield. I think if Clemson's going to lose a game, it's going to be this week against Notre Dame.
Well, okay. So say that situation runs out and they do lose one game. Does Michigan lose a game?
Michigan, Ohio State. That's the game if they're going to lose.
Yeah, that'll probably be it for them.
It's that one game.
And I say them just because they're fifth on that.
Although
point.
Michigan versus Illinois will be very interesting. But I think Michigan will take care of business the week before Ohio State.
Yeah, probably.
A team to worry, or not worry about, I think is going to get screwed out of all this. And it could play itself out.
TCU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have been undefeated. They've taken care of business against all the other teams they've played so far. Granted, they've had a lot of close calls. But
hey, Florida State had a bunch of close calls.
And then they got smacked in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but
they at least made it.
I mean, TCU still has some tough games left. They got 4-4 Texas Tech coming up this weekend. They've got to travel to Austin, Texas to play the Longhorns. Then they have to go to Waco, Texas to go to Baylor. And then they have Iowa State at home, which they should take care of business then. But
yeah,
those two games...
Iowa State off the table. Those two teams right in the middle.
Texas and Baylor on the road. Trap games and look-aheads, because if they win those four, they're going to be obviously in the Big 10 title game or Big 12 title game. And I think they, if I'm not mistaken, the Big 12, they don't have a division. Yeah,
no,
they don't. So the
no.
top two teams play.
Which at this point right now is Kansas State, who is a good team, but they already beat them this year by 10.
Yeah, but also TCU did win because they knocked out Kansas State's quarterback, and Kansas State was on their second string, and then they went to the third string quarterback.
True.
So interesting to watch down the line, but I think the playoff committee is just garbage. personally.
We could talk about that for hours, but let's go ahead and just get into the show. Welcome to episode 77 of Dimes on Duval. As you might have already heard, Skylar is not with us tonight, but Mike and myself, Keith, will be handling it from here. We are a day late, but hey, we're doing pretty good so far with our consistency. What do you think?
Yeah, once a week, usually Tuesdays, but today we had to do Wednesday due to some scheduling issues for everyone. But I think we're doing pretty good, and hopefully the fans are, or our friends and fans are enjoying it on a weekly basis.
I hope so, because I sure am. We're going to start the show off, though, as we always do, with our Sunshine State roundup. I say it different every time, so I don't think we actually have an established name, but that is okay. And I think we are going to go in the order of the sticky note I have here. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, but can we save Miami for last?
Okay, fine.
Because it'll transition well.
Okay, so I will start then. We start off with the FIU Panthers, who improved to 4-4. They are now 2-2 in the conference with a win over the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, who fall to 2-6. Wasn't a pretty one, but hey, two overtimes seal the deal for the Panthers as they travel to North Texas next week.
All right, going to FAU. They just had a game against UAB on Saturday, and they won 24-17. They do have a bye week this upcoming Saturday. Their next game is against FIU on November 12th.
The bottom 10 USF Bulls prove themselves worthy of that title as they fall yet again for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th consecutive loss, 42-27. Houston takes care of business. Next week, they travel to Temple, which could be their best chance for the rest of the season to finally find a victory again.
UCF comes back after taking an L to East Carolina. They took care of business against Cincinnati, winning 25-21 in the bounce house. They are now currently ranked number 25 by the aforementioned playoff committee, and they go to Memphis to play the Memphis Tigers this Saturday.
Bethune-Cookman allows 21 fourth quarter points and lose to Prairie View A&M 58-48. It's 106 total points in that game, a wild one. But Bethune-Cookman now is looking at 2-6. They are fifth in their conference, and it's not looking good for them as they play Alabama State next week, who is hungry as well.
Speaking of Alabama State, this team plays them next weekend, or 2 weekends from now, on November 12th. Florida A&M is now riding a 6-game winning streak after beating Arkansas Pine Bluff this past Saturday, and now they have Southern U visiting them in Tallahassee this upcoming Saturday at 6 p.m.
The Jacksonville favorite Ed Waters Tigers get their first back-to-back wins of the season as they beat the Miles College Golden Bears. Have you heard of Miles College before?
The only Miles I can think of is like Miles Teller or the Miles in
Miles
car.
Davis?
Eh.
Really? Famous musician?
Okay. I'm not that big into music as some people are.
Oh, okay, well, Miles College is in Fairfield, Alabama. They're a private, not-for-profit school. The average cost after aid is $15,000, which, okay. And their most notable alumni, I'm just going to go with Richard Arrington Jr. He was the first black mayor of the city of Birmingham, Alabama.
You learn something new every day.
Exactly. That's what we're here for. They win that game 22-16. Next week, they've got 2 games left in the season. Ah, dang. It's unfortunate that they're at home. I was hoping they'd be on the road, because I would say they're going to go play under the sea against Atlantis University, but it is at home, so.
That is such a dad joke. But speaking of under the sea, an offense in Coral Gables is completely under the sea right now. Their offense put up, how many touchdowns did they put up, Keith, this past week? What do you think? Take a guess.
Miami?
Yeah.
Or both teams combined?
Miami for now.
One?
Nope, they put zero. How about both teams combined?
One?
Zero. So, this game, Miami took care of business, I guess you can call it that, winning 14-12 against Virginia on the leg of their kicker. They went to 4 overtimes and put up a combined 26 points. Not one touchdown was scored. And this, mind you, is coming off the week where they had 8 turnovers against the Duke Blue Devils, where you guys remember me trashing them a week ago.
Yes, I do.
I cannot wait for Saturday. because Miami is about to really think about firing their head coach mid-game probably, because I don't see how Florida State loses this game. I am laying the 7.5 currently, what the spread is at the moment of this recording. Miami's offense is one of the worst I've ever seen. I've watched some games, and I'd rather put bleach in my eye than go back and watch that game again. Any of those games.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched really much of any of them.
You're not missing much.
I know. I'm proud of myself for watching some more Gator games this year, but I don't think I could take watching them as well, as you've mentioned so very clearly multiple times how bad they are.
So here's something fun for Miami. The second most points they've scored this year. I'm not counting the first, because the first was against Bethune-Cookman where they put up 70 points.
Okay.
The second most points, what do you think that number was?
27.
Close. It was 31.
Dang.
They lost. You know who to who? Middle Tennessee State.
Middle Tennessee, that was that game.
Then they put up another L to North Carolina. They did put up 30 points against Southern Miss. They have not broken 30. Actually, their highest point total was 24 against an FBS team. So, wow. Miami, you are a sorry-ass program, will always be a sorry-ass program, and I cannot wait for Saturday night under the lights in Doak. I'm sorry, not in Doak. Well, it's Doak South. So,
yeah.
Florida State fans will travel well. Miami fans are only expecting – they're wanting to win this game in a successful season after all the preseason hype of 10 wins or plus, or national championship in 3 years under Cristobal. Yeah, you're going to be looking for a new head coach in 3 years.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Miami.
Okay, fine. I'll join in on the fun. You want another fun fact?
Sure.
Miami is 76th in the NCAA in points per game. They have 27.4 points.
And that's among FBS teams, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have clarified that. 76. 75th? Middle Tennessee.
You love it how everything works out.
Oh, that's good stuff. Wow, what a bunch of clowns.
Miami, you are sorry. I'm sorry. You're too... Actually, I'm not even sorry. I'm enjoying every minute of this. Your two conference wins are against Virginia Tech and Virginia. You can't even beat anyone down further south than the Mason-Dixon line.
Well, I am a little confused, though. So we just talked about that 8-turnover game that they had against Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Van Dyke only has 4 interceptions on the year. Did they fumble the ball that many times? Or are they still doing split quarterbacks? Again, I haven't been paying attention.
So there is a thought that Tyler Van Dyke will not be playing this game against Florida State, because I think he's battling an injury.
Hurt pride? I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe. I'm not exactly 100% sure, so I can't comment on that. But I do hope that we do get Van Dyke, because I do kind of want to see a good game, but also would not mind to see a 70-0 trouncing of Miami and send their asses home with their heads down, all 4 of them, and just, yeah, I don't care. Miami, I hope we smack that ass.
I'm looking at the stats now. Jake Garcia, their backup, or their second quarterback,
mm-hmm.
He's thrown 78 passes on the year, so he's had some playing time. He's got 600 passing yards, so that's not bad, but... he has thrown 3 interceptions, so only 7 interceptions on the season. But I'm looking now at their team stats.
I have the Miami Duke stats. They had a combined 5 lost fumbles. Yeah.
Yeah, they have 10 total. 10
Jake
fumbles,
Garcia had 2.
9 lost on the season.
Jake Garcia had 2. Tyler Van Dyke had 1. And their running back, Jalen Knight had 1. And the other player... Keyshawn Smith had a receiver for Miami, also had 1. So total of 5 turnovers, 5 fumbles, and 3 interceptions for the Miami Hurricanes, and they lost to Duke. And I'm not going to keep bringing up Duke because that was 2 weeks ago, but they did barely beat Virginia without scoring a touchdown. I'm sorry. It's absolutely hysterical to me. Through 4 overtimes, I would pour... I'm sorry for any Miami fans. Like I said, that is just rough.
But they average... they allow over 200 passing yards per game. And only 112 rushing yards, which is actually better than Florida State's defense. But I still feel like Jordan Travis is going to have a field day.
They better let Jordan Travis run.
Let him cook.
Oh, God, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That failed miserably.
Broncos Nation?
Let's ride. No, that failed miserably. Oh, we're going to touch on the Broncos, too, in a minute. But, no, if the Noles are going to win this game and win by double digits, they need to let Jordan Travis just run. Let him run against this sorry defense, sorry offense, sorry team.
Do you want more designed runs, or do you want more option runs?
I'd think just put the game in Jordan's hands.
Yeah.
He is the best player on the field.
We're going to put it back in his hands.
So. I think he's the best player on the field, and we're going to get potentially Trayshon Ward back this Saturday.
I hope so. I haven't really seen anything about that. They're trying to be the Magic and not tell us anything.
I saw something about that today. He's practicing or attempting to practice this week.
Woo-hoo.
So he could come back this Saturday. So, but I do believe Florida State will take care of business against Miami. And I'm telling you, if they don't win...
I mean, according to ESPN, it says he's active. So.
Well, ESPN doesn't care about Florida State, so they never update anything.
True.
But if anyone wants to ride with me on this, I believe Florida State's going to win. I do believe that they are going to take care of business, and they focus their attention to their next game, which is against Syracuse, is what I believe is their next opponent.
FSU?
It is, yes. FSU against Syracuse next week. So it's Miami Hate Week. The only Hurricanes I'll be flying is the Hurricane flags on a car when they're leaving the stadium because their team is getting trounced by the Noles.
Hey, that was really good. Thank you. I like that. That sounds like something like you'd see in a newspaper article or something like, yeah, we beat them that bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a good game, personally. But then again, if this is all – I cannot wait to see what happens if this does not happen, if this does not occur. If Florida State loses, I'm going to get – destroyed by my friends. I already know it. So.
You will, but hey, it is what it is. Flipping the script here to the other Florida team that we haven't mentioned even once, I don't think, is the Florida Gators. I'm honestly...
They had no shot of winning
Georgia.
They
had no shot, but putting up 20 points is respectable to me.
Georgia play with their food. That's the expression. They just were just walking. They're like, they were sleepwalking through the game. They didn't care. I think.
Yeah.
Because I watched the game at home. I watched the majority of the Florida Georgia game. I was flipping between channels on YouTube TV and not a sponsor. But there was a point in the third quarter, I'm like, what is Georgia doing? They are just sleepwalking through this game. And they almost covered the 22.5 point spread.
Right.
Which I was pissed about because I just needed one more point. They would have covered. Assholes. But Florida covered. Good for them. They kept it close in the third quarter and got their fans all their hopes up and everything, and got crushed real quick.
They weren't as gutsy as I thought they'd be.
Who, Georgia?
Florida. I thought they'd take more risks, you know, fake some stuff, try and throw some trickery in there. But I think maybe they knew that they weren't going to win that game either. I mean, they only scored 3 first half points.
Yeah, and I honestly thought it would about to be 50-10. Like, it was bad.
And I was really hoping they'd put up a 50 burger, but, you know, we'll stick with what happened.
Also, think about it. Georgia, they are focused more on this upcoming Saturday against Tennessee, against the number one team in the country, which is weird to say that Tennessee is the number one team in the country.
Feels like the 80s or something.
90s, yeah.
90s.
But Georgia didn't care about this game, I think. I think so. We'll get out of there with no injuries. And from what I understand, no one did. I don't know if people got hurt.
There was a couple guys that went down, but they came back.
Yeah,
I didn't see anything significant.
That definitely plays a factor for the game against Tennessee, and I think that game is going to be great. That's going to be appointment television, and I wish I was not going to North Carolina this weekend for a wedding.
There's a lot of good games.
There's a lot. To be fair, it's not as many as you think because they're all in each individual slot. Like, there's a 12 p.m. good game. There's a 3:30 good game. There's a 7 or 8 p.m. good game. For us, we have our own game to watch at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m.
Sure.
But there's, like, it's one of every game. One of every slot, I'm sorry. Because I believe the Tennessee-Georgia is a 3:30 kick.
It is.
And then the 7 p.m. for the normal college football fan will be watching LSU-Alabama.
Mm-hmm. That's a 6 versus 10 matchup.
Or Clemson-Notre Dame at 8
p.m. Or Texas-Kansas State. I mean, those are two ranked teams.
So it's definitely a good day to sit at the couch, watch college football.
Yeah, and don't sleep in the night schedule. I mean, Wake Forest-NC State could be a sneaky good game.
Not even that. Also, you got Clemson-Notre Dame. You have Florida State-Miami if you want to just enjoy the ass-kicking that's about to happen to Miami.
You want an ass-kicking? Oregon-Colorado.
Yeah.
That should be. Should be. You know, I say that
What's the spread on that game? Does it say?
Let's see here.
Oregon 31.5.
31.5.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
I'm trying to see if there's any other top teams that have a bigger spread than that. Michigan 26 over Rutgers.
Yes, Rutgers is sorry.
Cal or USC 21.5 over Cal. But yeah, anyway, that's enough college football for now, I think. Miami Hate Week and Georgia on the... Oh, I didn't even mention Florida's next game going into Texas A&M. They're going to take care of business, I think. I really don't see Florida losing that game.
Who are they playing again?
Texas A&M. I think Florida wins. I think this is... Let me say this again.
I think
this is the biggest game of the Final Four for Florida to prove that this season isn't just a blech. Because, they beat Utah, and that was early in the season. And sure, it looks really good right now, but Utah was still figuring things out. USF is one of the worst teams in the entire college football landscape. Eastern Washington, blech. Missouri, blech. Nothing else they have looks anything good. I mean, they were close in some games, but Texas A&M, noon, ESPN, they'll be on, a lot of TVs around here. They need to win that game because South Carolina and Vanderbilt, I'm sure they take care of business. And then Florida State, we might be the ones, ushering them into the postseason, if that's the case. I mean, if they don't beat Texas A&M, they have to beat us. Because I don't think they lose to South Carolina or Vanderbilt.
There'll be six wins if they beat those South Carolina.
Oh, shit, you're right.
We're talking about Miami possibly not making a bowl.
Yeah, well, still. I mean, I still think...
I mean, they lost South Carolina last year. Remember that? They did lose South Carolina last year.
Sheesh, did they really?
I'm pretty sure they lost South Carolina.
South Carolina is 5-3. I mean...
They're not as bad as people think, but they're not a good team either.
Again, another one of those where... their marquee win is Kentucky. That is a good win.
Who, South Carolina?
Yeah, and I don't know what happened in that game. Oh, didn't they knock out the quarterback?
Yeah, Kentucky's not a good team.
They're still 13th in the nation.
Are they really?
Or they were 13th in the
nation. I was going to say, they are not a top 25 team right now.
My bad.
I was going to say, after I trashed the committee earlier, I'm going to retrash them. No, they're not a good team.
Yeah. They got Vanderbilt, Florida. Oh, God. They got to end the season with Tennessee and then Clemson. Tough for South Carolina, but that's not who we're talking about. So, anyway. You want to talk NFL?
Let's do it.
I guess we should, address...
Do we want to talk about the trade or do we want to talk about the recap? A review of the game and preview of this upcoming game. We got a lot of Jags talk.
For me, I didn't really watch much. I was out. I was actually in Macon, Georgia during the game. Or on my way to Macon when the game was happening. I wasn't really paying attention, but I did pull up the last INT. I had to watch that.
Okay.
And so this was my scenario. I'm in the car with my boy Chance. Alyssa's in the back seat. We're driving to Macon.
I love how Alyssa's in the back.
Oh, she was doing homework back there.
Oh, fair enough.
Okay. A whole different story. But we're on the way to Macon. He's taking us out for brunch. Cool beans, whatever. Pull it up on my phone. I'm like, all right, man, this is it. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, this is a potential game-winning drive. I plug the phone into his little holder that he has on his air vent. And I say, well, let's see how long it takes for Trevor to throw an interception. Didn't take very long, and I went ahead and locked my phone, and I'm like, well, that wasn't worth it.
All right, so...
I can't believe I called it. I'm so mad I did.
Okay, it's becoming more predictable, but that's besides the point. The Jags and Trevor did have a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter. It's just the defense blew it once again. Granted, there was a minute and some change left, sure, for Trevor to lead us back down the drive again against Denver. But, man, I am so tired of this. This defense is not good, and yet they're still ranked in the middle of the league in yards and everything. I'm like, how? They suck. Like,
points against is 10th.
That's because of the shutout.
Yeah. Well, God, I feel like we played enough games where that would negate that a little
bit. We haven't allowed anyone to score 30 points, or allow anyone to score over 30 points.
Yeah, middle of the pack in yards per game.
The only game I can think that we allowed someone to score 30 points was the Broncos, or was the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken.
I got it right here. 34 Colts.
Oh, God, that's right.
38 Chart. Oh, no, that was us. We won. we gave up 28 to the Commanders.
Yeah, so really,
29 to the Eagles.
Oh, 29. So it was only one game where we allowed over 30 points, and that was the Colts.
Yeah.
But as for the game, Travis Etienne looked damn good. 150 yards. He looked very good. But, man, it doesn't matter. We lost. You did exactly what you needed. Trevor with a boneheaded red zone interception once again.
They did an article on The Ringer about all of the quarterbacks in the league.
The panic level?
No, and it wasn't panic level. It was basically just ranking the quarterbacks. And Trevor, according to them, was like inside, I think he was 10th for just like what he was, which I need to read further to see why he was. But he's the first ever quarterback in this list to lose his badge for being like ready to go, like surefire quarterback. He lost that badge because of that boneheaded interception in the end zone.
I need to see that article because I did not see that. But
I'll send it to you.
I'm still not worried about Trevor Lawrence. People are freaking out. They're calling him a bust after 25 games or whatnot. Fine, you guys can give up on him. I am a person who gives every player 3 years on the team.
And coach?
No.
You don't give Norvell 3 years?
Oh, Norvell came in and did a rough situation. I thought you were referring to Urban Meyer.
No,
3 minutes.
That was, three seconds too long.
I wanted him fired after week one last year. The offense still is not looking great. The play calling has been very suspect. And Doug's never going to give that up. But, man, we had Travis Etienne run for 150 yards. Evan Ingram looked good. Christian Kirk is still, I don't know what's going on with that, but...
I mean, he had, a screen pass, and then, he had one actual,
And also,
reception. Jones didn't even catch a pass.
I'm not worried about the Jags' offense right now because, man, the Denver Broncos' defense is still one of the best defenses in the league. Granted, now they just trade away with their best pass rusher, but that's a different story. That's Denver podcast if you want to listen to that. But they have one of the best corners in Patrick Surtain. They had one of the best pass rushers in Bradley Chubb. They have a very good defensive line. They have a very good linebacker. They have a very good defense.
Yeah, that the white guy was pretty good. I don't remember his name. He was a linebacker, I think.
I don't know. But
I couldn't hear. I didn't have the volume on.
They looked good, Denver's defense. So the Jags offense, I wasn't expecting much from them. And I almost nailed the score prediction, by the way, in our group chat text message. We didn't tweet it out because it was such an early...
Yeah, I was like, I'm on vacation. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I just sent it for record-keeping purposes, which is what we did. So,
you said 17-14, Jags.
I mean, I put the exact number for the Jags. It was 17.
I said 19-10, Broncos. I was close on their score, and then Skyler said 19-13, Jags.
Yeah, I drilled the Jaguars. I've been drilling Jaguars lately, but...
Yeah, so predict like 56 next week or something.
No, I can't. I don't know why I picked the Jaguars in the group chat because I even said on the podcast last week, I'm picking the teams against the Jaguars until the Jaguars actually win a goddamn game. So, Jaguars, I don't care. I'm done. I'm looking at the draft season. Season's toast. Let's focus on the future.
That bothers me.
Why?
I don't want the season to be toast.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs?
No. We didn't prepare ourselves to make the playoffs.
Let me elaborate. Let me correct my statement. Focus on the future, but also focus on improving Trevor Lawrence this year. Because this team's success is tied to the development of our rookie or young quarterback.
It is.
And personally, I think they should trade Josh Allen. I still believe that. Trade him in the offseason because he's not worth that fifth-year option right now. Rebuild this defense. I know they just spent a lot of money on it, but my God, their defense is not good. Something is not right, whether it's the defensive coordinator making the play calls or the actual players, because some of them have got to go. Andre Sisco has done nothing since the pick six against Philadelphia. Absolutely nothing. So
you don't give him the same timeline as Trevor?
Sisco?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it with him.
I'm just saying, I see
some throws with him. I'm like, he's making some throws.
But he's also
missing a lot, yes. But Sisco, I just haven't seen him do anything to stand out. Now, again, like I said, I give everyone 3 years. But Josh Allen, gotta go. It's been 4 years now. He's done nothing since his Pro Bowl year in 2019. Or 2020, whatever year it was.
Some year.
But, he's done nothing. Josh Allen is a ghost. He has done nothing. Now, he could prove me wrong over the next, 8 games? 7 games? Yeah, we've played 8, so 9 games, actually, because there's 17. So he could prove me wrong over the next 9 games, but I'm just not a fan of Josh Allen anymore. I'm just like, show it to me.
Here's my thing. You just said we have 9 more games this season.
Yeah, because
I'm not even looking at the teams that we play. I am so sick and tired of throwing away the season before we even get halfway through.
Before we hit November?
Yeah.
Because we hit November and I'm done with the season.
Because the way I look at it, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more, but the trade that we just made for Calvin Ridley tells me that this front office and this team has given up on the season.
I don't know about that entirely.
Well, let me say why I think so.
Okay, go ahead.
You make a trade. You get rid of your top running back in James Robinson. Trade him away for whatever. You trade for a guy that can't play this entire season. You don't make any other changes to really improve. And they sign a couple practice squad losers, whatever. That doesn't mean anything to me. But they're not like addressing things that you just stated that are wrong with this team, like with the defense. Or, you know, even maybe throwing another target to throw passes to. Yes, I know they did for next year, but this is the year I want to be focused on. So many of our teams, we do this where it's November, like you said, and we've already thrown it away. And I don't like that. I mean, what if we win three out of the next four? I know we won't, but like, you know, what if we win three out of the next four? Is the season still thrown away, or are we getting false optimism again?
I think it's false optimism if we win next three of the next four.
I mean, we're not. We play the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Lions.
We can win two of those.
Yeah, Raiders and Lions.
Yeah. So, I understand what you're saying, and this definitely looks like it's a team giving up on the season, or the front office is. But it is a sense of, we've got to focus on improving as a team, whether that's Trevor Lawrence, as for James Robinson, I'm okay with trading him. Like, it sucked. It's because we hung on to him because he was the bright spot in 2020.
He was the bright spot in our lowest point. Yes. But do we have to throw everything away when we're rebuilding? Can we not rebuild and actually have a little success?
The thing is, if you kept James Robinson, you would have to pay him. And right now, the Jaguars are not in a position to pay players that are less premium position, such as running back.
It's not like we're playing Snoop Connor.
Snoop Connor's a draft pick. The rookie salaries are locked in.
It's not James like we're Robinson, playing him. Why can't we fucking play him?
James Robinson is not a drafted player. He is an undrafted player and who's going to want the bag, which he deserves.
I get it. He deserves it. That's not the only thing. It's just frustrating. Because I'm tired of feeling like it's just another moot season and I have to sit here and just talk about how depressed we are and then start talking about the draft. I mean, I've seen 1010. I don't listen, but like I see their social posts talking about the draft, talking about, you know, draft. I don't want to talk about that in November. I want to talk about that in February.
Well, it sucks. I'm talking about the draft. So, but as for the James Robinson thing, I'm okay with trading him because Travis Etienne showed in his first game as a true starter what he can do. Put up 150 yards, looked damn good as a running back, and could have ran for a lot more. He looked like he got shot out of a cannon every time he touched the ball.
Except for when he got stuffed on the third and short.
One carry out of one touch.
But I called that. I called that short yards carry. Again, why isn't Snoop Connor in that situation?
Why isn't Jermichael Hasty in?
He hasn't impressed me besides that long run, the one long run this year, too.
Again, they're probably going to address it and maybe get a cheaper option because James Robinson would have cost a lot. You can't have that much money tied to
agreed.
The
Agreed. And to I get that. I totally get room. That. But Jermichael Hasty at 4 for 13. Zay Jones had 1 for 7. But, like, I don't understand the usage of the rushing as a whole. And then just the passing. I mean, Christian Kirk only having 3 receptions.
Yeah,
just,
by the way,
paying this guy a bag and he doesn't catch. He doesn't get. Well, I guess he had 7 targets. But
the Calvin Ridley trade, now to hop onto the Ridley trade.
Sure.
It's in a direct indictment of these receivers, personally, I think.
Yeah, it is.
They paid Kirk to be the number one. Didn't work out, and now it's looking bad, but you can make an argument that he's going to be one of the top slot receivers in the NFL. I don't give a damn. Like, he can be a good slot receiver, but you still need to get a player to take the top off a defense or be an alpha receiver. I personally, you said you weren't the biggest fan of the trade because of the visuals of it.
It's the just drafting somebody that, you know, we might contribute be good. To what might be good.
Okay.
And we can't use him this year.
I think Calvin Ridley is a stud. Sure, we haven't seen him in a year and a half.
Yeah, that or bothers
really 2 years.
That bothers me.
But it's not due to injury.
I understand that. But 2 years away from the sport is not going to benefit you in any way.
You don't know that. I mean, he stepped away from the Falcons due to mental health. Like, he wanted to step away for his mental health. And then come and find out 4 months later, or 2 months later, he was making bets, which...
Who else did we see step away from mental health and never saw the field ever again?
Don't you say Justin Blackman.
Telvin Smith.
Telvin Smith also is a pedophile. So...
I get it. I get the hype. But the thing
is, Calvin Ridley also, from what I've seen on Twitter, he is pumped. Telvin never did that. Never did that. He never posted like he's ready to come back.
He did. He did.
Yeah, two or three years after he's done. Like, he, no, and people.
2 years.
People posted videos and pictures of Telvin Smith looking very scrawny, looking like pre-high school days. Like, he did not look good. He cannot hit.
When was the last pic you saw of Calvin Ridley?
I don't know, but I'm sure there's some on Instagram. I haven't followed him on Instagram yet, but I followed him on Twitter. But I shot him a DM too to see if he'll maybe come on the podcast, just see what happens. But
good call.
I love getting Calvin Ridley for what we got him for. If he, the lowest risk, or it's a low risk, high reward. The worst,
potentially,
the worst thing you give up if it fails miserably is a fifth round pick. How many fifth round picks make up for it? Otherwise, I'm sorry, here's the exact conditions. If he gets reinstated by the date, I guess, whatever, February, whatever, in 2023.
Yeah, I noticed it's, they said just the date. And I'm like, I don't know when
that
is.
It's worth a 2023 fifth round pick. Otherwise, it's for a sixth round pick. Fine. If he makes a team in 2024, it's at least a fourth. If he hits a playtime milestone, it's a third. If Jax gets a long-term deal done, it's a two. You're telling me if we sign him to a long-term deal and we only give up a second-round pick, I am all over that deal. This man, Calvin Ridley, his last season of production, I remember, had almost 1,500 yards receiving and 9 touchdowns. This man is a receiver one. He is an alpha receiver, and you don't get trade for an alpha receiver anymore in today's NFL. All of them are – I'm sorry, you do, but you give up – 2 first-round picks or 3 first-round picks or whatever. Look at the Dolphins – or not the Dolphins. Oh, yeah, Dolphins, for example. They traded a first-round pick and other picks for Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs traded – the Bills traded 2 first-round picks to Buffalo – to Minnesota for Stephon Diggs. And ironically, one of those picks turned out to be Justin Jefferson, so that kind of worked out either way. But
what did we get for Devontae?
Devontae Adams?
Yeah, was that first round picks? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Anyway, I get your point.
And you don't get these receivers for cheap. You're telling me the best case scenario, give him a second round pick? Or, sorry, worst case for the Jaguars, but really best case because you're only giving up a second round pick? I'll take it. We haven't really had much success in the draft anyways, so might as well take a chance on an absolute stud from Alabama, from Atlanta, from Florida, really, because he's born and raised down in Florida, but
Broward County, yep, or whatever. Yeah.
So I am a huge fan of the trade, and it gives Trevor a true number one receiver, because he didn't have that last year. He didn't have it this year. Let's go. Calvin Ridley is ready to come to Jacksonville.
I understand everything you're saying. I agree. I hope that he is this guy that he was. I mean, 2020, 90 receptions for almost 1,400 yards. 9 TDs. He's got 28 total TDs in 4 years. Good numbers. Love that. I'm just being a Jags pessimist, I guess, and just being a little worried because, again, we haven't seen him play in a while.
I guess the roles are reversed between me and you.
I know. It's weird, but I think I'm just that depressed that we are sitting here at 2-6 when I thought we would be at least, you know, at least have 4 wins by now. I mean...
Could have, yeah.
I was kind of hoping for. I mean, all those one possession losses this season.
0-6 in those.
Oh,
all our sixes, all our sixes, all our losses are one possession.
And so. I think just the built up just stress of being a Jags fan, disregarding the Packers. I don't care. You know, they suck. You know, for the first time in a while, whatever. It is what it is. But being a Magic fan and watching us start at like 1-6, whatever we are right now, it's just so hard when I want to be optimistic so bad and all my teams stink. And I know I went on that rant last week, so I won't go back into that. I hope, Calvin Ridley, if you are listening to this, I hope you're a stud. I really do. I just don't want all of us to put all our eggs into this basket of the Ridley is the GOAT kind of talk before he even takes the field. Because we do this so often, we get so hype, and then it just bites us in the ass. So I'll leave it at that. It's Las Vegas. You going?
No, I'll be in North Carolina this week.
Oh, that's right. I won't be able to go either. You know, Chance is actually coming in town to go to this game, and I won't be able to go with him. But it is what it is. This might be the best chance for a couple weeks for the Jags to pick up a dub. 1 p.m. on CBS, per usual. I mean, I think we've had one on Fox this year. But
I have just a quick comment.
Hit me.
I'm talking about Josh Allen and trades.
Make me
so
happy.
I guess John Shipley asked him about his reaction to seeing those kind of rumors pop up. And he said, I'm not even on social media. My wife was the one freaking out more than me. That's funny.
All right, that is pretty good. I mean, you got to think of it that way. You know,
and Josh Allen did say he was, quote, very excited about the Ridley trade. He's going to help us out a whole bunch. So, I mean, I think this is a low risk, high reward for Calvin Ridley.
Agreed. I just hope it pays off. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to go on any further about that. Mike, I want to talk about
I'm going to put a future on the Jaguars winning Super Bowl in 2023.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. I want to talk about some local
That's where stuff. The season's gone, folks. That's where the season's gone. It's gone to the point of I'm just not looking forward to 2023. Give me I'll put $100 on the Jags to go to the Super Bowl in 2023, and I don't know what the odds are, but book it.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's going to be I'm sorry for screaming. Like, yeah, I don't care.
I'm going to put a scream warning there. let's just finish the show with local update. You actually pulled up something before I did, which is rare, because usually I'm the one researching the local updates. But I had the pleasure of talking to my sister on the phone before the game.
Does she listen?
I don't believe so. Probably not. It's sports. She didn't care. She was on the way home. She was driving over to Matthews, and she said, is there a fair going on right now? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm looking towards the stadium, and I see a Ferris wheel. I'm like, I know nothing about that. And you actually looked it up, and the fair is in town starting
today,
the 3rd. Yeah.
November 3rd, all the way through November 13th. $5, what is that? Never mind. I lost it. But yeah, it's for 10 days in Jacksonville. At the fairgrounds. Jacksonville, Greater, I don't know where it is.
Who cares? The Jacksonville Fairgrounds right next to TIAA Bank Field.
Yes, that area. And
you really don't know where the fairgrounds are?
Where it is. I don't know what it doesn't specifically state, but I'm pretty sure that's where it is. Let me double check.
You a fair guy?
I haven't been in a while.
Like any type of fair though? Like would you say like if someone said let's go to the fair, you'd be like, I'm in?
Depends on who I'm with.
Oh my God. It's just a yes or no question if you like fairs or not.
I will go. Why not?
It's not my vibe.
Why?
Eating fatty foods, riding on rides that are seemingly dangerous, run by...
Oh, I would not go on the rides.
People.
I would not go on the rides. I would go on the... what's it called? I would just eat the food. Yeah. Food's good.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of fried food. I don't know. I guess I'm past that. I loved going as a kid to the St. Augustine one and eating my funnel cake every year and not wanting to share, even though I had to. But I think after my Georgia Fair experience... All the fried foods did not really agree with my tummy. So I think I'm good on those. I'll leave the fairs to the kids.
Yeah, the fair is off of right by the, what's it called? The Jumbo Shrimp ballpark. So you're right there.
Yeah.
So.
But yep. Like, you literally can't picture that in your head where it is?
I don't know the roads, but I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly where it is. I just don't know the roads.
Okay, but you can see it, right?
Yes,
you know, okay,
I can see
okay.
it. Yeah, I
okay.
see. Yeah.
I was wondering.
I think I've been to one of those before. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to talk a couple important restaurant news. So there's some opening and there's some closing.
I know we didn't touch on this last week with the Lemon Bar.
No, we didn't. And actually, that's the first one I want to talk about. The Seahorse Oceanfront Inn and Lemon Bar were bought out by Shad Khan and the Iguana Investment Florida. I think that means Lemon Bar's dead.
Probably.
To me.
I agree.
I think they're going to try and fix it, even though it doesn't need fixing.
It kind of does.
They're gonna fuck it up.
It kind of does. It's so cramped.
It does.
It's
but
so
you know
cramped.
You know what I mean.
It's a local Jack's Beach staple, but man, it is
like Pete's
very
Bar.
Cramped. I mean, Pete's Bar closed for like what, a day, like a week.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, they made it like no smoking, which was like a good upgrade.
They needed to.
But, I mean, like, with Lemon Bar, yes, it's cramped. Yes, it is what it is. But they're going to come in there. They're going to renovate the whole thing. And then they're going to up the prices.
I mean, the price is already pretty high at Lemon Bar.
Exactly.
I think what they're going to do
is... So it's going to flush me out. It's going to flush the little college kid out.
Personally, I think they're going to tear both of them down. And they're going to build a rooftop bar. Because that place does need more rooftop stuff. So, and it's on the beach, bro. You need some stuff like to help your beaches with rooftop bars.
Absolutely. No, that's a hot thing to have.
On a hotel beach. As well, because there's no hotels out there.
I mean, that is literally an inn.
That holds maybe 30 people. I'm talking like a hotel like Margaritaville down the road.
And that has been a great success.
Yeah, so, very big success.
Absolutely. I think you're right about that. But.
So I think, and this also shows that Shad Khan is committed to helping the city and the...
A little bit.
Outside.
I'm not going to say too much because he still isn't committed to the team. So
he's committed. He's, to be fair, he is putting the money to the team. He's just hiring the wrong people. He's been committed.
I meant more like stadium upgrades and stuff like that and lowering concessions and, you know, things that actually matter to the person going to the game.
Yeah, well, that's just...
I mean, you saw what the Falcons did. They've got the lowest concessions in the entire league.
We need a new stadium.
And they did it right. Yeah, they got a new stadium and they lowered all the prices. So we'll see. We'll see about that. Next up was, this was a little while ago, back on the 12th of October, Clark's Fish Camp. Did you ever go there? Or have you heard of it?
I've been to a fish camp. I don't remember if it's Clark's. Where is Clark's again? This is in
Mandarin.
Yeah, I actually know. It has
crazy taxidermy inside, like all kinds of weird animals, all stuffed
and stuff.
I think
I've been there. And I
you
think
know
I,
if you went to Clark's if you went there.
And I'm pretty sure I know the agent selling it, so.
Oh. Well, that's $1.85 million it's listed for.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that.
it's kind of sad because... You know, they've been flooded a couple times recently, and, you know, that is always tough for a restaurant owner. They did close temporarily for renovations, and then they decided, yeah, we're going to sell it. So, enough with the sad. Let's go with a little happy. Have you ever heard of Highway 55 Burgers, Shakes, and Fries?
No.
So, apparently, it is a North Carolina-based restaurant chain known for its fresh, never frozen burgers, plus shakes, fries, and frozen custards. I'm thinking Culver's here. Very similar to that, but it's retro. They plan to potentially open up 10 restaurants.
That looks like Steak and Shake.
It does kind of look like Steak and Shake, too. Yeah. I mean, that looks like a cheesesteak. Bad radio, but they're going to open up a restaurant on Commonwealth off 295 on the west side. And the other earmarked locations are Yulee and Live Oak. Other than that, we have... let's see. Jack's Fish Fry. They debuted a little while ago, 3 years ago, actually. They've been really trying to get into three more locations across Northeast Florida. And they're hoping to open one of those first restaurants at the end of November or in early December at the Fountains at St. John's in northern St. John's County. Texas Roadhouse. You ever been there?
Of course. It's one of my favorite restaurants.
The Rolls, man. Ooh, boy. They just opened up one at River City Marketplace. And Amandola's Italian Kitchen was another one I wanted to mention, too. I've never heard of this place. I'm pretty big on the Italian restaurants. I like Italian food. It's in my blood, yada, yada, yada. But this is an upscale casual restaurant known for its freshly made pasta, pizza, desserts, gelato, and sorbetto. This is going to be opening in the Claire Lane Shopping Center, right near Trader Joe's and Barnes & Noble. That's kind of exciting. Because over there, you've got already some good establishments like Ale House.
I would say you have Bonefish. Whataburger opening up there soon. I mean, it's not a great establishment, but it's Whataburger.
Whataburger's going in the old... Oh, yeah, yeah, with the old Barnett. Yeah. I'm excited for that because they closed the one off University, and that one made me sad because I remember...
They replaced it with Chick-fil-A, didn't they?
No. Whataburger actually became Chipotle. Krispy Kreme was where Chick-fil-A is. But I was really sad because I remember like 2 years ago, it was my birthday, and I had a coupon for Whataburger, and I drove to that one. It just closed like 2 days before. I'm like, no, I can't get my burger or whatever it was. It was probably just a free sandwich. I don't eat burgers. And the other one, the last one I wanted to mention was Wicked Barley. So I just want to give them a shout out. They actually won a gold medal at the nationwide competition for, what is it called? Great American Beer Festival. Wicked Barley won the gold for Argument Starter. If you've ever had that, it's their American Amber Red Ale. And it was the 40th anniversary of the competition, but that's their first ever gold medal from that event, which is awesome. If you recall, a couple years ago, Main and Six, actually, which unfortunately just closed, but they won for their chocolate beer, their weapon of mass destruction. But hey, shout out to Wicked Barley. That's a good good look for the city. And we're always happy to see some local wins.
Love it. I love Wicked Barley. I haven't been there in a while. I need to get back out there soon.
Those cheese curds, man. Ooh, dog.
Their food is good, too.
It is. It's just getting there. You know, sometimes it's just...
It's a try.
It's a little bit out of the way, and it is what it is. But, oh, and the last thing I want to mention, just because it's Chick-fil-A. So there is going to be a new Chick-fil-A at San Jose Boulevard and Old Acosta Road. I'm assuming that's really far down San Jose.
I am pulling up
Google Maps. Past Julington Creek, if I can think correctly. Well, as you're pulling it up, though, this is just going to be, it's going to be one of their new 3,500 square feet models, which means it's only about 38 people can sit inside, much smaller than their normal ones. But what they lose in seats, they gain in drive-through capacity. And that's huge for Chick-fil-A. Obviously, they're one of the top drive-through chains in
the nation. It's in the same shopping center, probably, as, do you know where the Brewster's is off of San Jose?
Oh, yeah.
Like right by Loretto Road?
Yeah.
Like right
there. I used to
live
off Loretto Road.
Old Acosta Road is the next road going towards Julian Creek. So,
holy crap. Oh, wow. I'd never even
unless
heard
it's
of that
taking
road,
the
so.
Place. No, that's not it. Never mind. But yeah, it looks like it's coming pretty close to the other Chick-fil-A, which is very interesting. It's right down the road from the other one.
The one right there, right before 295, with the Target and the
yeah. If you're coming from Publix. Coming from downtown, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, those are really
they're very close.
But like I said, this is a smaller one that will really be pushing the drive-through only. So or not drive-through only, but drive-through is their main source of income. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
No Iceman update this week. I just don't care, to be honest with you. I just didn't feel like looking it up.
And we're already almost 55 minutes in. We're at 52.
Yeah. We're at a good time. I want to go so I can enjoy the rest of this week, which is my vacation. I've been thoroughly enjoying it so far. This is actually my first full day back in Jacksonville, as I've been in Georgia. But, Mike, going to go ahead and... send it out. Yeah, send you out with it. Get out of my apartment.
Just one last thing.
Hit me.
Don't forget, use the code DIMES10 on nerdynuts.com. There are some new flavors for Nerdy Nuts. They launch every Sunday some new flavors.
So we just got through all of the Halloween ones. Yep. Does that mean we got new ones for November?
Yep, we got pumpkin roll. We have an advent calendar as well for those that love advent calendars.
Oh, yes.
We have a circus cookie peanut butter treat, peanut butter dreams, birthday cake peanut butter cups, blueberry streusel. And I believe that is... Oh, and there's a lemon cream almond butter.
With the circus cookie...
Yes.
Is that like those pink and white cookies that we had when like we were little kids with little sprinkles on them?
I didn't have them as a little kid, but yeah.
Oh, sure. That was like a special treat as a kid.
Yeah, well... and then there's also monster cookie peanut butter and obviously the good old classic cookies and cream peanut butter. So there's definitely some other flavors out there. Definitely recommend you go check out nerdynuts.com and use the code DIMES10 to get 10% off your order.
Super big shout out to Jenna Young, whoever the heck you are. I don't know if you even listen to the podcast, but she bought like almost $70 worth of peanut butter using our code.
I'll take it.
I mean, she is elevated to queen. If you are listening, please reach out to us so we can thank you personally. And buy some more peanut butter, people. Love you guys. Appreciate you listening, and have a good one.
All right, a draft name to watch or to look out for: Jackson Smith and Jigma, and Jigba, wide receiver, Ohio State.